want to preach tonight on five truths that keep me serving God. Sometimes people say, Brother Jorgensen, you're getting up there in age, aren't you? And I say, yeah, that's pretty obvious. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. Preacher mentioned, been in Bible college work now for 55 years, which would be right. Graduated from secular college 56 years ago, and then went to seminary down at Tennessee Temple under Dr. Lee Robertson, and met my wife there. That was a good thing. She'd been reared in that church under Dr. Robertson, but I started teaching math in the college while I was going to school in the seminary, because I had a math degree from a secular college, and so I was teaching bonehead math there in the college, going to seminary. Taught some Greek also in the college while I was in seminary, and so pretty much started right out of college, 1 year as an assistant pastor in Virginia, but the rest of it serving God in Bible college work one way or the other. And it's a blessing. And sometimes people will say, well, Brother Jorgensen, why do you keep going? Could you retire? And we could change some things, but we could. So why do you keep going? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? So anyhow, here's five things that keep me serving God. Turn your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and why don't you stand for the reading of God's word. I don't think you have to do it, but understand that's your habit here. I usually read my Bible sitting down in the morning. I think that's okay. But I think it's also good to stand when you read it. Whatever. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Make sure I've got the right reference. I recopied this outline this afternoon because the old one was getting kind of torn up, and I think I'm going the right place here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And where am I here? Last days perilous times shall come. Then we'll skip down to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That all sounds like today. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the fact that we can have a copy of the Bible in our hand, that we can know your thoughts on different matters. Help us to follow it, live by it, serve you faithfully. Help us to continue in the things which we have learned and not to shy away from them, but just to keep going serving you. We pray that you'd guide and bless my mind as I preach, lead and direct it. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to hearts while I speak to ears. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. That phrase there in verse 14, and has been assured of, talking about the things that you learned as a child and your mother and your grandmother taught you. There are some things that we learned years ago in Christianity, and we learned our Christian faith. We've grown up believing them, and we want to continue in those things. We don't want to step aside and change. If it was true before, it's true now. And there ought to be some things in your life that you would say, this is it, it's settled. This is what I believe. Sometimes people introduce, and I think Brother Ross said this morning, Brother Jorgensen just hasn't changed. I mean, he's the same. And or over the last couple of days, you've said that. And I'm frequently introduced different places. Brother Jorgensen hasn't changed. He's the same as he's always been. And that's what I aim to do. I aim to go out like I came in, aim to go out with the same wife, the same doctrine, the same standards, same emphasis on soul winning. I just want to go out like I came in. Don't aim to change. If it was right when I started and it was in the Word of God, then I don't want to change it. I want to be faithful and stick, and you ought to have things in your mind where you say, no, that's it. It's settled. And you say, how have you not changed? Well, I don't read all the nut stuff you can find on the internet. I don't read, this guy, he's got some new verse and something he's never... I don't even read that stuff. I got plenty to read right here. I've got books if I want to read commentaries and so on by people I know and trust that have written good doctrinal material that I can read and study. Mainly I want to read and study God's book. And, if I know the truth, why do I want to browse around the internet and everything else trying to find something crazy? And somebody tell you, well, this isn't quite right, that isn't quite right, we've got this. You know, when I was 18 maybe, 19, I don't know, something like that, took a Bible course, it was an odd situation. But one of the things I remember out of it was the teacher saying, you know, if you find somebody who found an interpretation or if you come up with an interpretation of a verse that nobody's ever thought of, probably there's a good reason why. You know, I mean, I don't know, you ought to just have some things that you say, this is settled. And I don't need to reinvestigate. You know, I mean, I got married to my wife 54 years ago, right? She loses track of the years. They just slip by so fast because she's having so much fun, you know? But you're laughing. Are you thinking about your marriage? That's not the case? So I decided this is it. We're married. I love her. Don't keep looking around, try and find, well, is there somebody else who would have been better? I don't keep looking around thinking, well, now, wait a minute. I didn't know she had that flaw when I married her. It's settled. It's just done. Don't rethink, reevaluate, compare her to Susie or whatever. I mean, you do that, you're not going to stay married. And if you keep flirting around with different stuff on the internet and doctrine and everything else, you're going to get messed up in your life. Because something's going to look cuter, cleverer, or whatever. But you ought to have things in your mind that are set. 2 Timothy talks about things that you've been assured of, that you're sure of, verse 14. That you've been taught through history, you've seen them in the Word of God. Anyhow, 77 years of age, Brother Jorgensen, why do you keep serving God? Five things. Number one, God is real. Amen. I mean, God is real. Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You don't believe in God, you're a fool, according to the Bible. Amen. Say, well, you shouldn't talk. You know, correct God then. I'm just reading what he wrote. Anybody. You got any sense? You believe there's God? Well, I think all this just happened by chance. You got to be kidding. You know, I mean, how did that sign get made up there? Well, you know, somebody took some canvas and some paint and threw it in. They sloshed it around and that came out. Makes as much sense as Aaron's golden calf. You know, where'd that calf come from? Well, you know, we just threw some gold and this and that in the furnace and out came this calf. Sure. And that's supposed to happen to the world and the universe and the human body? I mean, only a fool would say there's no God. There's got to be a God. Bible says, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I mean, you look at the sky, you look at creation. I mean, there's got to be a designer. It didn't just happen. You know, there's some tree grew kind of funny and out came this pulpit. Well, you know, you just got millions and billions of years and enough time and anything could happen. But things decay, they don't get better. I mean, there must be a God. Somebody said, Brother Jorgensen, we're in church on Sunday night. All of us believe in God. You don't need to preach about that. I'm not talking about a creator that created the world and then walked away and let it run on its own. I think a lot of people's personal faith is more like that. You know, God, he made the world, then he kind of left it. It kind of went on its own. Eventually he sent Jesus, and Jesus died for me. And then I got saved. And now I'm kind of just, kind of on my own. Someday I'll die, then I'll see God. If all this is real, and it is, but I mean, you know, but I believe God is real. God is a person, and he's God, but God is a person. He's not just a force or just an idea. I mean, he's a person, and he's a part of our life. Just as much as you come to church, you hear Brother Ross preach, you read a book that I wrote, I can read a book God wrote. And God is real. As much as my wife is real, now he's not physically here, but as much as I believe that God is real. He's not somebody who created the world or a creator who made the world and walked away, but he's real. And I think he's involved in the lives of everything here on earth today. You read the blessings and the cursings that God gives in the Bible, and God is real, and those work. Talked about getting, you know, blessings of God, and comes with this morning, and praise, I want to praise God, and so on, and God blesses those that give, and you help poor people, God help. Yeah, that all works. Amen. I mean, it's not just something the preacher said, it's something that happens because God is real, and he judges sin. He rewards good. And, said, well, somebody was doing good and they got sick. Well, you know, that's because we live on earth, we get sick. Someday we'll live in heaven, we won't get sick. But I believe that God is real. The blessings, the cursings in the Old Testament, the New Testament, God's not just an imagination. He's not just an idea that, that's nice that you have that little belief. That probably helps you get through hard times. I wish I could think like that. You ever hear that out soul winning? But God is real. And someday I'm going to see him. Oh, I long to see him, look upon his face, there to live forever by his matchless grace. On the streets of glory and walking up. I mean, he's not an imagination. He's not a feeling. He is real. Number two, I got to get going. I believe this book is true. I think the Bible is true. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Read that a minute ago, I think, didn't we? And profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction. God breathed the words of this Bible, and it is absolutely true. John 17:17, Jesus said, I sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. This book is true. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that God wrote the Bible. He preserved it in my King James Bible. What good did it do him to write it if he didn't preserve it? I mean, you say, well, yeah, he wrote one, but it's lost. Nobody knows what it says. We can guess pretty accurately. I believe God wrote the Bible and he preserved it in my King James Bible. I believe this book is true. And it says somebody will go to heaven if they trust Christ as Savior, and if they don't, they're going to. I believe that's true. I believe that it says, you know, if you tithe and give to God's work, God will bless it. And I believe that's true. I think the Bible is true. Rome, I believe that it's absolutely true. I believe in the Bible teaches things that we call teaching philosophy of Ed and so on. Absolute truth. You go out soul winning sometimes and you give your testimony or whatever, and somebody will say, well, I'm glad you found that to be true for you. I'm sure it gives you a lot of comfort. And the idea is, but you know, that I'm glad you think that's true, so it's true for you. But since I don't believe it, is the idea they're trying to say, it's not true for me. I mean, you believe you're going to heaven because you've trusted Christ. That's nice for you. I don't believe that way, so I'm not going to hell just because I haven't trusted him. This is what I believe, so this is how it's going. It doesn't work like that. Some things are true. Some things are false. Some things are true. Some things are lies. I believe the Bible is true. Every word in it. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that part of it. Well, it doesn't matter. It's still true. Amen. Some of you, I believe this part, not that part. That's pretty inconsistent. But every word in this is true. The absolute truth, whether you believe it or not, the Bible is true. I want to keep serving God with my life as long as I can, as long as I have energy, as long as I can serve him. A, because God is real. B, because I believe the Bible is true. C, I believe heaven is real. I mean, it's real. John 14:2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place. It's not just a feeling. It's not floating around on, Brother Howes, you say, a bunch of clouds somewhere sprinkling spoofle dust or whatever. That's what he said. I don't even know what spoofle dust is, but that's what he used to say. But heaven's a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Just like Jasonville, Indiana is a place, Lexington, Kentucky is a place. We're going to leave after church tonight, drive home, walk into our house. It is a place. And we live there. Someday, we're moving. My wife says, man, I don't know how we'd ever move out of that house. We got so much junk, we could never get it moved, and stuff that we've accumulated through the years. Someday, we're moving out of there, and we won't have to worry about all that stuff. But I'm moving to another place that's more real than the house we live in Kentucky, because the one I'm moving to is eternal. It's going to last forever. This one's going to, the one we live in there is, I mean, it's a nice house, but it's going to decay and rot. And, you know, I'm buying new insurance on it or renewing my homeowner's insurance. And they all want to know how old is your roof, because, you know, and so they're charging me a lot more because why do they do that? Because the roof's going to mess up. It's going to decay. They know that. So they're charging me more for my insurance. But anyhow, Jesus, I believe heaven is real. I believe there are streets of gold, gates of pearl. It'll be wonderful. I believe that there are mansions there. I don't know how big they're all going to be. Heaven's big. It's plenty of room to have a lot of big houses in it. But 1,500 mile cube, Chicago to Orlando, how many, and then that high. I mean, how many stories would you put in 1,500 miles? I mean, that's a lot of stories. You got a lot of room. And I don't know if they'll be big. Sometimes nice places are relatively small, but they're really fancy. So I don't know. I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be a beautiful place, a lovely place. Heaven is a real place. I think my mom and dad are there, got saved, trusted Christ. Look forward to seeing them. Look forward to seeing friends of mine that have gone on, passed on, moved over into heaven. But I'm going to see him again. Heaven is a real place. First Bible teacher I had up at Princeton said, you know, I remember Sonny, you know, I was young then. He was my age now. You know, my dear mother died, and putting her in the grave and how I missed her. And I remember thinking as I walked back to the car, before I get in the vehicle, we could hear the trumpet sound. Wow. And we'd be reunited there in heaven. Heaven's real. And it's an exciting place to think about. We'll see Jesus. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. I think I already quoted part of that song. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. be rewarded for things done in the flesh. But you know what? So is hell. Hell is real. And just as heaven is real, and it's all part of point three, I said five things, heaven and hell are real. People who die without Christ go to a Christless eternity where there's fire and burning and gnashing of teeth and the worm never dies. And I mean, it's just eternal torment. I feel like I ought to spend as much time, all the time I can, trying to keep people out of hell and get them into heaven. And I was talking to my good friend, John Paisley, who pastors in Washington State, Pasco, Washington. Do you know him? At least some, anyhow. Great church out there, 240 missionaries or something, and I don't know. I mean, just a great church, buses and all that. He's 5 years maybe older than I am. I was talking to him several years ago. I said, Brother John, you ever think about retiring? He said, Brother Jim, I can't. And, you know, I was trying to get counsel thinking about me and what should I do. And he said, you know, Brother Jim, I can't. And I said, you mean financially? We're pretty good friends. And he said, no, people are going to hell. How can I retire? People going to hell. How can I retire? People, he said three times. I mean, heaven and hell are real. I think you and I ought to spend, you say, whether you're old or young or in the middle, we ought to spend the time we have and try and use our influence and resources and what we have to keep people out of hell and get them to go to heaven. And I mean, I want to serve God with my life. The Bible talks about fire and hell and torment and eternal torment. That's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And it's the Great Commission because it's the Big Commission. Go ye into all, Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Until we accomplish that, we need to keep going. And you can't find me. You say, well, I can't get to everybody in the world, but we can get to the people where we live, people we come across. I want to do what I can to get people saved, get them into heaven, keep them out of hell, and want to serve God with my life. A, I want to keep serving God because I believe God is real. B, the Bible is true. C, heaven and hell are real. D, I believe that God spares society in response to the righteous lives of his people. I mean, we're talking, everything's MAGA this, MAGA that, and I voted for President Trump and would again and so on, things about his personality I don't like, but I like his political stands and so on. But the answer to the saving America isn't in the White House, it's in the church house. You read, and again, I said I give a little bit. I gave once. If you do, don't ever give them your cell phone number. You'll get texts once in a while they call me now and I say, well, I used to give, but I stopped because I can't get these texts to stop. You stop sending me texts, I'll start giving again. But they don't stop sending me texts. And I type stop, but they keep coming and coming and coming. But anyhow, I mean, I'm for getting involved in that and doing some with it. But the answer to America's problems is not in politics. It's in revival among Christians and serving God. You read Genesis and talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and everything else. When Abraham was pleading for Sodom, God didn't say, well, Abraham, if you can get the Sodomites to be less sinful, if you can get them to tone down what they're doing and go into the closet and hide it at least and so on, then I'll spare the country. God didn't address that at all. He said, Abraham, if you can find 10 righteous people in the country, I'll spare the country. And I think the answer to God saving America isn't in trying to get the sinners to be less sinful. I think the answer to saving America and allowing us to continue to have religious freedom and freedom to teach and just teach common sense even and talks to so much of this stuff, the answer isn't in the political realm. The answer is in church. The answer is in God. Because God spares societies, I believe, in response to the righteous lives of his people. That's what God said to Abraham when he was pleading for Sodom. If you can find 10 righteous there. And I think Abraham stopped at 10 because I think Lot and Mrs. Lot, and he had a couple of unmarried daughters, so that's four. I think he had three married sons and their wives, and Abraham thought, well, I got it. That's Lot's family. We're down to 10. But when Abraham went to his sons, they mocked him and said, who are you telling us? God spoke to you? Bible says they mocked him. Couldn't believe, you know, really, Dad? God, you got to be kidding. God spoke to you? I think one of the saddest portions in the Bible. How little testimony he had. But anyhow, I love our country. I want to see it saved so we can continue having religious freedom. I'd much rather preach with religious freedom than fear of going to jail or whatever. I think as we have religious freedom, we can continue to evangelize more, see more people saved, get the gospel out around the world more, missionaries and television and radio and everything else. I mean, I'm for that. And I think the answer to that is more righteous people, more churches like this, and being in Bible college work, I want to continue preparing young men and young women to go out and serve God and be part of that righteous remnant, win souls, and bring more people in. Our job, you know, people get so worried about politics and one thing and another. Well, what would it, you know? Our job is the same. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter, whatever. Kamala had won. Donald Trump won. Our job as Christians is to go out and tell people how to get saved and teach them how to live good Christian lives. Doesn't make any difference. Now, at some point, may we be persecution with it. But Paul did it with persecution. I mean, I'm supposed to get people saved, work at trying to get people saved and then trying to get them to live good Christian lives, teach them the Word of God. I want to work, and one of the things keeps me going, I want to have an influence, especially with college students, preparing them to go out, work and reach the next generation, prepare a righteous remnant. I want to keep serving God. Five things that keep me serving God. I believe, number one, God is real. Number two, I believe that the Bible is true. Absolutely true. I believe that heaven and hell are real. I believe that the reason God spares society is in response to the righteous lives of his people. And number five, and lastly, since it's five things, I believe the separated Christian life is the best life in the world. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Jorgensen, what do you give up by being a Christian? Nothing that I want. I mean, I give up drunken nights and going home and, you know, and problems and split marriages and illnesses and diseases. And I mean, you know, I mean, someday I'll get sick. We'll all get sick. Someday we'll all die. But it won't be because I'm, you know, because I was drunk and got in a wreck. Odds are a whole lot better. But I just think the Christian separated Christian life is the best life in the world. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's a wonderful thing to serve God with your life. Full-time, layman. We ought to all serve him full-time, whether we get paid for it or not. It ought to be the heart of our life. I want to serve God with my life. And you think of the joy, the reward you get here on earth, the joy of sitting last night and listening to 10, 12 of you talk about the blessing that my wife and I have been to you through the, I mean, you don't get that in the world. You walk out of there feeling like, man, I helped somebody. I don't even remember that incident, but it made a difference in somebody's life. And, you know, what could you want more than that? I preached this morning, I got peace of God. I believe in him. Why should I worry or fret? I don't know what's going to happen with this and that, and this wins and the economy wins, it doesn't do, and yeah, I got tariffs and what's going to happen, not tariffs and what's going to happen. I mean, God's in control. I don't have to worry about that. God's going to see me through. Look, if God can't see you through, you're not going to get through. But God will see you through. And I believe that the separated Christian life is the best life in the world. I found a t-shirt that we bought when my wife and I were in Hawaii probably 20 years ago or close to it. Maybe more than 20. And one, it had little sayings on it. One of them said, the best things in life aren't things. I think everybody would say that. The world would say that. The best things in life aren't things. Another one of the little sayings on there said, he who dies with the most toys, and we all know that saying, he who dies with the most toys, what's the next word? But the saying said, he who dies with the most toys still dies. Right? I want to live some way that when I die, how many toys I have isn't the focus, hasn't been the focus of my life. It's been serving God, seeing eternal reward. I want to help people know the joy that my wife and I have had as we've served him through the years. And we're not perfect. We mess up. I mean, you know, well, she does more than I do, but that's the opposite of the truth. But I want to help people fulfill the dreams that God has for them. I mean, there's nothing better than living for God. Amen. Why wouldn't I want to keep serving God and go off and say, well, I'm going to chase this or chase that? You know, you play Monopoly. Y'all ever play Monopoly? Yeah. And, you know, you try and get all the money in and all the properties in, and you own Park Place and Boardwalk, and you got monopolies on these different properties. You build hotels, and you wind up on all the properties and all the money, and then game ends. Yeah. I owned everything a minute ago. Now the game ended. It's worthless. Right? It all goes back in the box. Nothing, I mean, who cares? Game's over. Some people spend all their life trying to accumulate money and bank accounts and investments, and I'm for you having a savings account and planning and all that kind of stuff. But that isn't the goal of life. Some people spend all their life trying to get this and get that and have more and have the most toys and everything. Someday the game's going to end. We'll stand before God. And you say, well, I had more earth money than anybody. God's going to say, who cares? Worthless up here. Doesn't count for anything. I've enjoyed following Kentucky basketball. I like Coach Calipari there. He moved to Arkansas and so on, but he had an interview he did years ago, probably 8-10 years ago, and talked about why do you keep doing this and so on. And he said, he doesn't need money, so that isn't it. He said, you know, after a while, the titles, the accolades, the wins, the losses, it kind of all runs together. But if I can take a young man out of poverty or whatever, and help reach his goal. He's talking about get to the NBA, make a lot of money. I don't know if he said money, but, you know, get him into the NBA, get him a lot of money. I've changed his destiny and the destiny of his family. And he said, if I can do that, then I'm a dream filler. And how big is that? And I thought, well, that's good. But I don't want to help them fulfill their dreams. I want to help them fulfill God's dreams for their life. I want to keep serving God because I want to help people see the vision of what does God want you to do with your life. And I'm not talking just about young people. I'm talking about all of us. God wants to use every one of us. Doesn't matter your age. God used different people differently. Some things I used to do I can't do anymore physically. But God has a dream for every one of you this year. I want to challenge you to fulfill God's dream for your life. Do what he wants you to. That's a whole lot bigger than getting somebody to the NBA. And that's nice, but God's dreams are a lot bigger than that. And God has a dream for you. He has a dream for you this year. what he'd like to see you do. And so I want to keep serving God with my life. As long as he gives me health and ability to do it, I want to keep serving him, because God is real, because the Bible is true, because heaven and hell are real, because God spares societies in response to the righteous lives of his children, and because I believe the separated Christian life is the best life in the world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, you've been so good to us. We've been blessed financially to live in this country, emotionally with friends and church family and people that love us here and around other places. We get to be used of you, witness or preach or testify, see somebody saved, lead somebody to Christ, and God, you use us. You wouldn't have to use human instruments, but you do. Thank you that we are allowed to partner with you in that. Help us to be faithful and continue faithful. Won't you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? If the piano begins to play, if God spoke to your heart and you want to come down and kneel here at the altar and say, God, help me be faithful. I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be faithful to serve you. I believe heaven is real, hell is real, God is real, the Bible is true. I want to help people have good lives. Somebody ought to invest in the teenagers, the bus kids, young couples. Help them fulfill God's dream for their life. Not just their dream. I mean, the NBA's okay and all that, I suppose. But what about God's dream for your life? What's God's dream for your life this week, this year? I want to fulfill his dream for my life. Challenge others to do the same. Father, bless, we pray,